Today's daf, Masechet Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Kuf Gimel, and we are holding at the Gemara daf Kuf Beit Amud Beit, four lines from the bottom. Boy Minei Rav Natan Baroshaya Mirabi Yochanan. So he asks the following question: Misateit Mishum Mai Mechayev. What exactly is dressing a stone part of? Which malacha would it be? And so Rabbi Yochanan didn't speak, but Rabbi Yochanan moved his arms as if he was banging a hammer. So Akra Rabbi Yadei Mishum Makeh B'Patish. He showed him that it's Makeh B'Patish. But then how do you explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says HaMisateit V'HaMakeh B'Patish, as if they're two completely different things. Well, said Rabbi Yochanan, we have to read the Mishnah as HaMisateit, that is HaMakeh B'Patish, not V'HaMakeh B'Patish. Tashma. Hakodeyach koshuhu chayav. Any small hole. Now, any small hole means you want to hang a picture, you drill a hole, you're chayav. Now, explain to me how you are chayav if you hold of the tzad of Shmuel, or the things here that Rabbi Yochanan is saying. In other words, we have a major machlokas here. This is a continuation of the sugya yesterday, as to whether doing things that are useful for a building is considered to be binyan, or it's considered to be only an act of completion. So in other words, we had the case, let's say, of making a hole in a chicken coop. Right, so what was that? I mean, it's very similar to making a hole in a building. But basically, what we said over there was, according to Shmuel, that's not binyan, because you wouldn't make a hole in your living room. According to Rav, that is part of the binyan. So in other words, what Rav holds is that a tikkun of something of a binyan is part of bone. But according to Shmuel, it's really only makeh b'patish. Now, if you want to hang a picture, I got news for you. The thing that you did when you drilled that hole is not possibly makeh b'patish, because makeh b'patish means the final act in a malacha. If you're drilling a hole and you need to now put in the picture hanger, so then how could you possibly view drilling a hole as a gemar malacha? So bishlam al rab birzikaman dechor chur televinyona. According to Rav, that I understand, because it's basically the same. The word mirzi, many of the achronim have problems with. Reb Kiveger points out that it isn't a problem. Mirzi is usually used in a case where the rabbonin asr something because it looks like something else. Mirzi command. So because of that, they answered it as an extension of something which is asr. But over here, we're talking about a malacha d'oraita, or it says a chachayavan in the Mishnah. So obviously, it can't be mirzi. So they change it. Reb Kiveger brings numerous places where the word mirzi means it's for all intents and purposes, is what it means. And that is, as we would say in English, part of the broader picture. Mirzi, it's part of the broader picture. So it's the part of the idea of making a hole in a building. Like we said before, you want to let in air. So this too, it's part of building. What's the difference? What you're going to do with it afterwards? You're going to put a grate on it? You're going to put a picture hanger in it? That's irrelevant to me. But according to Shmuel, who holds that the Mekor of the Chiyav is Makeh B'Patish, this can't possibly be Makeh B'Patish. It's not a Gemara Malacha. Answers the Gemara Achamai Askinan. What we're talking about over here is that you use a special concrete nail for hanging the picture. And the making of the hole and the insertion of the picture hanger is all the same Malacha. So it's talking about the bize biram to the parzala. You use a steel nail to make the hole, and then shafke begabe, you leave that nail in the hole itself, which means that the gemar malacha was making the hole and leaving in the nail. But einokinami, according to Shmuel, drilling a hole because it's not binyan and it's also not makeh b'patish, you wouldn't be chayimah. Okay, then we say Zaklal in the Mishnah. Zaklal, a malacha that is mitkayemet on Shabbat, your chayavan. Now, what does that expand into? Zaklal latim. When we say Zaklal, it's always something that I would not have thought was included in the previous cases. And the truth is, it's coming latuye of tremendous chiddush. It's latuye de chok kapiza bekaba. A guy is intent on making himself a kav. A kav is a measurement. Well, how does he do that? He takes basically a form and just a raw piece of wood, that's golan, and now he cuts it out, hollows it out, so then he has himself, and he's making a nice measuring thing. We use those wooden kind of kalim in our kitchens. And here's got a salad bowl that's supposed to hold a kav. Meanwhile, he has time today to hollow out, let's say, a third of a kav, according to some, three quarters of a kav, kapizas and machlokas. Is it a loop? Is it three and a third looking? But whatever we're talking about, It's obviously not going to stay this way because he intends to hollow out the whole thing until it's a complete salad bowl that holds a cup. However, there are plenty of people who go to TJ Maxx and pick up exactly the same thing that hold one look instead of a cup. You can even buy it in a set. Now, he happens to intend to conclude this later. The Chiddush over here is that because the Malacha as it is mitkayemet on Shabbat, even though it's not your intent to complete it this way, it's still considered to be a complete Malacha. That's remarkable. Well, see, we're used to the idea of, let's say, Lagabi Hotzah. But we have the concept of, if this is not what you intended to do, then this is, you're not going to become chayav on it. Even though somebody else had intended to do it, would be chayav on it.
But that's not sure.
Yes, but remember that that's dafka concept by hotzah, because that's defining where it needs to go. And if it's somewhere else, it isn't anywhere. Because over there, the whole point is it's spatial coordinates. But the question over here of achieving a change in an object is completely different than a change in the coordinates of an object. So there, any change which is, would be, sufficient in and of itself, is considered to be a malachas bach shemes. The fact that you intended to do more is all very nice, but what you've done so far is a perfectly good malach, and this is now going to be a theme throughout the remainder of the parak. Yes, exactly. We're going to be getting exactly to those cases. So this now is the makor of that klal. Now is going to be the makor, but he didn't to come. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says very strange things. He says, you know, you don't even need an object. If you are makah the kunis ala sadan, you've got a smithy, he has his hammer, he bangs it on the anvil without having anything between the hammer and the anvil. That itself is considered to be a malacha because it's mitakein melacha. What the heck is that supposed to mean? My covet, what are you doing? What do you mean you're mitakein melacha? So Rabbi Rabbi Yezid Amr Tavar, look, because basically, you get into the swing of things. When you swing the hammer that way, that's where it comes from. So you swing and then boom, you get into rhythm. Boom, poppity, poppity, pop, boom, poppity, poppity, pop. So you're really getting yourself used to using that hammer correctly. And when you do that, you're able to use the hammer better from a local. Karshu ba b'nei rechava. So b'nei rechava asked, so I guess if you watch a video about how to swing that hammer on Shabbos, you're also chayav, because I mean you're training yourself for malacha. I mean it's ridiculous. You don't do anything. If you're chazum nuta b'shabbat v'gomar, you learn how to swing your hammer by watching people swing their hammer. So you're going to tell me achinami to machayav? That's crazy. A malacha has to be a malacha. You have to achieve something. You didn't achieve anything. You tell me the hakana for achieving something? Ella by Rav Damer, that doesn't make any sense. The truth is that there needs to be a purpose. The malacha that you're doing is what he's suggesting, Rav Shimon Gamliel. And that is when they used to, there was a very fine job that a smithy had to do in the Mishnah. They had to hammer out gold foil that was the thickness of thin aluminum foil in order to be able to use it for the coverings over the krashim. Well, that's how they covered it with gold. In order to do that, the problem was that the slightest imperfection on the surface of the hammer would cause a rip the next time that they banged the hammer on the thin piece of gold that had been hammered out. So what they used to do, they would bang three times on the actual gold foil, and then they would bang on the anvil in order to smooth it out so there wouldn't be any imperfection. Bang, 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 bang. So that means that part of the actual perfection of the asiyat ha-malacha, even though right now you didn't bang on the foil, you only banged on the sadan. Say, oh, well, you couldn't be chayav just for banging on the sadan. Not true, because the banging on the sadan is part of the hammering out the foil. Therefore, if it is bishat malacha, I'm not suggesting, Stam, you walk into your shop and you bang on an anvil. Obviously, that can't be a malacha. But if you're in the process of doing a malacha, and we warn you, don't bang on that anvil when you do, then that would be the continuation of the malacha itself, even though it's not on the object. It's a tremendous finish, what Shimon Gamliel is saying. Shekein meradadei tasei mishkan. People that make foil in the mishkan would do that as part of the malacha, and then it becomes defined as a chelek in the malacha.
It's not
Mark of Patish. Yeah.
It's
Mark of Patish? Yeah, it would be Mark of Patish. Literal Mark of Patish.
It's not the final act.
It is. It's the final act in terms of what makes it possible for me to smooth it out.
Does he go back to work with
you? Yeah, so that's the next part. Right. So each part is a ticket, exactly, each series. Tremendous finish. Okay. Zakrei Elika Mishnah. Continuing on, the shiurim of the various different melacha. So HaKoresh Kolshu, somebody who does even the slightest bit of Harisha. Now, of course, the question is, what good is a slight bit of plowing? The Gemara is going to discuss what the point is of all of these different shiurim, where we get them, what purpose they would serve. Somebody who is midachesh, he pulls out weeds. Now, pulling out weeds, obviously, again, there it depends on the context. If you pull out weeds that are growing between plants, then you're chayav mishum zorea, believe it or not, as we said earlier, because you're making those plants, they're now going to grow better. So that's like zriya. If you're smoothing the ground by doing it and making it possible to plant, you'll be chayav on harisha. If you're going to be doing that in order to feed your Mary had a little lamb, then you'd be chayav on katsira, and so on and so forth. I'm going to get into this lest we go on through this sugya. So if you're menachesh, or you're mekarsim is you break off dead branches from a tree, or you're mezared, which is what we like pruning, where you would prune off new growth, which is live growth from a tree, any little bit, you would be chayev. And again, the purpose would be of central determining value about what you're chayev on. So let's say you're being malakeit etzim. You're gathering wood. Now, it depends. You could be malakeit etzim letakein. Letakein either the eitz or letakein the karka, in a case where it's not mechuber. So then it would be koshu, because harisha of koshu, if it's letakein a karka, or zuriya koshu, if it's letakein into eitz, you would be chayavan. If the point is that you're using it for its energy content, but it's not being betakein, so you're going to be burning it. So we know what the shear is burning. Sufficient energy to cook a beitzakala, that was the old beitzat tarnigolim. If you're being malakeit weeds, so then, again, im letakein, if it's to fix the ground or to fix the plants, either for zriya, once again, or for harisha, koshu, if it's to feed a lamb for a behema, so it's kemoloi melo piagdi, or the point over here might be what Rambam understands in the Pirshah Mishnah is, that we're not talking about that they're connected to the ground, the chiyuv would be because of ma'aner, because you're gathering them together. But, again, there's many different possibilities, and the context defines the possibilities. Now, the question about why is it that when you do something which automatically has a different achievement, why is that not included? Why is it all defined by your intent? Because after all, if it's a psik resha, then that should be incorporated within your content, your intent. That's going to be dealt with later. But understand, that's something that does seem to jump out at you over here. That an intent that isn't going to change what the results are should not be definitive in the malacha. So we will get to that. Anyway, getting to the beginning, you're saying if you do even the slightest bit of harisha, in other words, if you prepare the land in any way whatsoever, you would be chayav. What good is doing a little tiny bit of harisha? Well, what do you mean? You could always plant a pumpkin seed. Pumpkins are really nice, and that would be a very valuable malacha. Now, Rashi points out that even though when it came, once again, to Hotzah, bring the clock, when it comes to Hotzah, we said a minimum would be two pumpkin seeds. But remember, five seeds we had before, depending on the shiurim we had earlier. That's because ein adam torea to be zorea. Less than that amount, thanks for that. Now that's as far as doing something that's doable at one time. I mean, when you're carrying out the amount that is usable for you, and therefore, what your ultimate achievement of what you're carrying is going to do, that's what you're chayav on for carrying. But the act of zriya itself is, by definition, a piecemeal act. You're going to be zoreya a seed. You're not going to be zoreya 10 seeds at one time. You've only got two hands to work on it. So because of that, it would have nothing to do with the shear of Otsa, you see. So if the Zriya is going to be one seed, okay, so if I'm planting a pumpkin seed and you do a little bit of preparation of the earth for me to be able to do that properly, why isn't that enough? And that's indeed the Svarna over here. The Kavatagab and Mishkan, and where would we have such a thing in the Mishkan? And over there also, we needed to plant matter, let's say, in order to be able to get dye stuff, so whatever it was. So Shekin Roy Lekelachachacha Samanim. Hamenakesh, hamekarsim, hamezaret. Here we have all types of different things that you would do, either weeding, picking up dead branches, or cutting off, pruning off early growth. Tunarabon. Let's say somebody is tolesh olshin. Now there are things where it's the stage of growth that makes the difference. So when it comes to chicory, now chicory at one stage is human edible for making a coffee-like drink. Or bizarret, yeah, speaking of which. Is that with Olshin or is it with Starbucks? I'll tell you one thing, because of your crazy Starbucks via at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't sleep all night. No, really? Hamizared Zradim. Now, Zradim are very, at the beginning, are very soft reeds, which are edible. And you know, people put those kind of things in salads. They're very, very popular at an early stage. As they get harder, they're only useful for animals. And as they get harder yet, they're only useful for fuel. So again, it depends. Im la'achila. We know. What is the shir of achila? Shir of achila is always grogeret. If it's no longer edible, then you're using it as animal feed. So what's the shir? Exactly as we said earlier. Kimelo p'agd. If it's for energy content, meaning it's even harder, so then it's k'dei levashel beitzal kala. If the purpose is to make the earth smooth, well, then it's harisha, right? So liyafot et hakarka, then it would be kosher. Wait a minute. But, I mean, the bottom line is, who cares what you have in mind? I mean, are you not, by definition, smoothing the ground when you pull something out at ground level? So then, by definition, you're doing harisha. So why don't we talk about kosher no matter what? Otukulu, lo le'afot et hakarka, you know, are they not all for that purpose? Says Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, well, we're talking about over here in a swamp. So you're in a nagam. If you're in a swamp, then you're not being metake in the karka. So therefore, we're ignoring that part. A bioma? No, it doesn't have to be a swamp. We could be talking about a field. A field teme v'sadeh, and it's not an agam, but his kavana was not for the purpose of being me off of the karka. Says the Gemara, so what? That's the point. A baya v'rava damer tarvayu, even Rabbi Shimon holds, that's something that you're not mechaving for. You're mutter to do l'chatchila. But he's made that if the psik reisha v'lo yamut, the classic case, of let me cut off the head of that chicken so my kids will be able to use it as a puppet show, you know, but of course we don't want the chicken to die. I only need its head. That means you went out to kill the chicken. So the same thing could be true over here. There's no way to avoid being miyapa the karka when you're pulling something out. You could say, yeah, but I didn't want to be miyapa the karka. That's like saying I didn't want the chicken to die. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't help to say my kavana was not to achieve that. And here comes one of the most interesting elements on Malachat Shabbat, lo tzricha tekavit ba'ar dechavre. What we're talking about over here is that he did not do this in his own field. He did this in his friend's field. Now, this means that what we're saying is that the point of a psik reisha, the reason that Rabbi Shimon has made it a psik reisha, you'd be chayav on, is because since you get some benefit out of it, then for all intents and purposes, it's incorporated in your initial intent. But if it's a psik reisha, delo ahanile, where you don't have any personal value in it, then he would never have said, and there are many, we show him all this, that according to Rabbi Shimon, this is actually the sheet of the Aruch, according to Rabbi Shimon, based on his Gemara, there's no din of psik reisha whatsoever in a case where you're not being nena from it. Now, there's many different levels in that. There could be a psik reisha delo nechale that you don't want, not only that you're not being nena from, but you actually don't want it. Let's say you have something that is stuck in your car. It's in the trunk of your car. If you open up the trunk, a light goes off. Not only are you not interested in that light in the middle of the day, but it's going to wear out your battery, so you sure as heck don't want that light to go on. In that case, despite the fact that it's unavoidable for the light to go on when you open up your trunk, you are, according to Rabbi Shimon in this sheet, is completely mutter to open the trunk because you don't want the light to go on. And since your kavana has no interest in the light, it really doesn't matter if the light goes on or not. And that's not considered to be a malach. Yeah, that's something else. That's not considered to be a malach ha-mashemet. So there'd be no problem. It's not a psik reisha, because a psik reisha lo nechale. Right. Okay, so inochinami. There are many shitas that say that there's no problem in doing such a thing. Here, it's even worse. Here, it's not you don't want it. It's just that you couldn't care less. It's not your field. That's already a machlokus, whether perhaps it's true, the Gemara is saying that you wouldn't be chayev. It's not saying that it's mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, just because you don't have any personal hanoi in it. And there, because the Mishnah is only interested in the chiyuv chatat. The Mishnah doesn't care whether something is also or mutter. We're talking, the question that we had over here on the Braita is, but why aren't you chayev a chatas even on a kosher, since it's always going to be chavisha? Yes, Abba.
Is there not only money? That's it?
No.
So, I mean, Hanag, because it's your friend's field, that's not...
Well, it might be, if it's your good friend.
Friends
have neighbors.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, but it doesn't boil down to your intent. Generally speaking, the fact that, you know, somebody's going to benefit from it is not of much interest to you. It's not against your interest. That's what I'm saying. There's different levels. There's where it's literally against you.
Why would you do it?
You're doing it because you want to eat the piece of the ocean that you picked for a cup of chicory. Couldn't care less about what it does to the karka. And now, our dear president.
Dr. Heiliger Mishnah.
I fooled you. We're not even at a mission. Ha ha. Yeah, we are. Just want to keep you on your toes. Hakotev shtei otiyot. Somebody writes two letters. And I don't care if he writes with his right hand or with his left hand. You're always going to ask, what do you mean? You don't care. Of course you care. Because whenever a malacha is done, kila achar yad, it's not chayiv. So how could you possibly say it doesn't matter what hand you use? We'll get to that. I don't care whether it's the same letter you write olive olive, or two different letters. Or I don't care if it's the same ink, or it's one of them is written in red ink, and one of them is written in black ink, or whatever. Mishtei samamanim, it's written with two completely different types of materials. That's all the same to me. And it could be in any language at all. You're still be chayav. Says Rabbi Yossi, what is this talk about letters and language? And there's no such, this is how many learn Rabbi Yossi Shita. There's no such thing as a malacha of kotev. There was no kotev. The name of the malacha is roshem. Roshem means making a mark. It does not have to be a letter. The makor of the malacha is shikach kotvim al karshia mishkan leda eze ben zugo. What they used to do is mark the krashim so that when it came time to put the mishkan back together, they would match up number two to side number two, number three to side number three, like we do. This is the reason we do it, to base it on the mishkan and the sukkah. It's not just logistic. People make these marks on the walls of the sukkah because the sukkah is really an expression of the Ashras HaShechina and the mishkan and so on. We learn out the height of the sukkah and the din of schach. We learn out from the Arayin and the kaparas. So we do that as well, but that doesn't have to be a letter. It doesn't have to be a number. It could be just, you know, two lines. Or one line. Of course, the one line would have to match up with another line on the next door carriage, you know. But that's all. So, of course, I don't care. Now, others learn that Rabbi Yossi is not saying there is no Malachat Kotev. He's just saying that that Malacha takes two forms. There's a Malachat Kotev. There's a Malachat Roshem. There's all types of Nafkaminas in this. So they would write this Leida Ezeb and Zugon to know which one it matches up with. Om Rav Yura, Matinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. And you know, if according to Rav Yura is saying, look, he's not arguing necessarily, we're going to see. But you should not think, and this, of course, is a continuation of the idea that we had before, the name of Lokal is Mitkayemet in this way. You're already Chayavan. You should not think that you have to finish what it is that you set out to do. You want to write the word Shema on. And you got to the word shame. Well, shame means something. It's a name. You were going to write Shmuel, and all you wrote was shame. So, there's no better shame than shame. So you already wrote a name. Or you were going to write Nachor, and you wrote Noach. So you already did a malacha that's mitkayemet on Shabbat. You were going to write Daniel, and you wrote Dan, you know. You were going to write Gadiel, and you wrote God. So all of these cases, you'd be chayev, because it is mitkayemet, despite the fact it's not the end result of what it is that you set out to do. So you see how this is a continuation of Kalal Amru, Kol Malacha Shemitkayemet Shabbat. Says the Gemara, right hand, I understand, l'chayev. That is the way that people write. Derech Tivar B'kach. I understand, obviously, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, who the heck cares what hand you're using and so on? That's because he holds there's no din of ketiva, there's a din of roshem. You can be roshem with anything. You don't need to be able to write very clearly to put your X on the contract. But why, if you hold that there's a malacha of ketiva, why are you chayav on your left hand? Hamai, ha'ein derech ketiva b'kav. That is not the way to write. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're talking about over here a lefty. Beiter yad shanina. Lefty? So then his left hand is his right hand. I understand what you're saying. Bein bimino, bein bismol. That is yamino. I know there's a word yamin that has nothing to do with right or left. It has to do with your leading hand. This is what we call the yamin. So then that can't be what the Mishnah means. Then his small is the yamin of everybody else. So then it should only be chayav on small, not on yamin. You can't have a Mishnah that says bein bimino, bein bismol. Because that's not true. There's never a person that's bein b'yamino bein b'smolo. Yes, says Abaye. What if he's ambidextrous? So then if he's sholeit b'shtei yadav. Now, you might think that someone who's sholeit b'shtei yadav, a master of all trades, is a master of none. He can't really do the job properly because his brain has not specialized, so he writes more poorly than anybody else. Because of the fact that he's sholeit b'shtei... What?
That's very true.
Nonetheless, he'd be chayav on both hands. Because that's the way that these kind of people will write. Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of Bat Yaakov, Amar, Amani Rabbi Yosihi. No, this is no problem. Maybe the end of the Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rav Yossi, who says that the malacha is making a mark, not writing. Well, making a mark, it doesn't matter which hand you use, right? So this is going like Rav Yossi, Yomar lo chivu shtei otiyot elo mishum roshem. How could it be Rav Yossi? If Rav Yossi is introduced only in the Sefer, no, Rav Yossi says, it's all about Roshem, not about Koteva. How could the beginning of the Mishnah be Rav Yossi, for heaven's sakes? If you want me to say for Rav Yossi, Reisha is not Rav Yossi, no? Not necessarily. Sometimes we introduce the name of the town of the Mishnah by putting in a throwaway line, which shows us, like, because Rav Yossi, who is the author of the above, says that you're not Chayim Mishum Kotev, you're Chayim Mishum Roshim. That's certainly one way of learning. Om Rav Yehuda Matzino. Now, this is fascinating, because what Rav Yehuda seems to be focusing on is that you're Chayiv on writing a name that is part of another name. But let's say it's not a name, but it's a word. So let's say you are going to write the word Sheshach, and instead you write Shesh. Okay, so, well, why does it have to be a Shem Mishimon that he's focusing on? What if it would just be Shtei Otiot Vein Shnei Shemot? Well, this is what he seems to be saying. They're both Shemot, Huda Mechayev. But what if it's Shtei Otiot Vein Shem Echad? Let's say it would be two letters that are the same. Do not form a name. And they're part of a longer name. Then he's not Mechayev, but we know that he is. Because the Braita darshans the Pasuk, the Asa, this is a Pasuk we've looked at so many times. The Nefesh Kitechet Abishka Gadachiv of Chiv Chatas. The Asa Me'achat Me'hena. Remember, we have three different, the Yukim there that we've gone through so many times. And there's many different ways of understanding that Pasuk. So it says, V'asa Achat. So says the Tanakhama, if it said V'asa Achat, you might think that you have to write the whole thing. You did one thing, meaning the full intent of what it is that you set out to do. You were going to write Shmuel, you wrote Shmuel, all right? Or you were going to knit a sweater, you have to knit the whole sweater. Or you were going to make a sifter, you have to make the entire sifter. Me'achat, any bit of one. Me'achat. So in other words, even if you just wrote one letter, or you just did one stitch, or you made a basket just a bayit achat benafat. Now, bayit achat means basically you just set it up. Remember in camp we used to make those long chains with the plastic, right? So if you bend over and you just bend over the other parts ready for the first layer, that's called making bayit achat. It's not going to hold together. So you might think you'd be chayev at that point at an afa, Talmud Lomar. No, it's got to be achat. It says, v'yasa achat me'ena, but then there's another word, v'yasa me'achat me'ena. So which one is it? Okay, so the point over here is that you would be chayev only on something which is achat, despite the fact that it's only me'achat of what you intended to do. And therefore, haketzad, you would be chayev, but you'd still have to write some element of what you were going to write. So let's say you wrote a shem katan, mishem gadol. You were going to write a name. Okay, so then if you wrote a name, let's say shem mishimon, or from Shmuel. Or you were going to write Nachor, and you wrote Noach. Or you're going to write Dan. Daniel, you write Dan. Gadiel, you wrote God. Now this is the sheet of the Tanakhama, which here appears as Rav Yehuda. And yet in the Braita, Rav Yehuda argues with the sheet that he himself says in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, why would you need to have two different letters that spell out a shame? What if you would just write two otiot? So if you would write two otiot, they're exactly the same otiot, but they're all part of some other word, even though they don't mean a name on their own. Let's say you were going to write Shesh Batzar, okay? You wrote Shesh. You were going to write the pasuk Loma Titra'u that Yaakov says to his children, and you write Tate, you know, Arura Hadama, and you write Rar, or you were going to write Ezgago, and you write Gag, or you write Chak, whatever the cases would be. Two letters, it means something, but it's nothing to do with a shame. You'd also be chayev. Amar Reb Yossi, are you being mechayev people for writing? There's no such thing. V'chimishum kotevu chayav, you're chayev ishum rosh shem. Why would it even have to be letters? Why would it have to be intelligible? Shekein rosh mima kashem mishkan leitna isi ben zugo. I don't care if you had two boards and you took a nail and you made a mark across the two boards so now they match up together. You just made two letters, what you're calling letters, You made your mark to match up. That would be Sarat Srita Achat on two boards. You'd be chayav just for that. Or if you do two Sritot on one board, there's an extension of the same idea. But it does not have to be letters. It does not have to be part of words. All of this is just a bunch of extra talk. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the way I read it is V'yasa Achat. You might think that means the whole thing. Yochel Achichtovet Kol Hashem Achi Aro Kol Abeget Achi Aset Kol Anafa Talmud Omer Me'achat Imi Achat Yochel Afil Lo Katav Alot Achat Afil Lo Arag Alachut Achat Afil Lo Asel Abayet Achat Benafa Talmud Lomar Achat. Same drasha. Okay, Tzad, what then is the solution to the contradiction between Achat and Me'achat? Now the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between that and what we said before? A Melacha that's Mitkayemet. That somebody would have written that in another situation, and that would have been the Melacha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, look, it's much more complex than you guys understand over here. There's different levels of this drasha. The Asa Achat, You're paying attention to the word me'achat, okay? What about the fact that the Torah could have just written v'asa achat, and instead it says v'asa achat me'hina? It didn't have to say both of those. It could have said v'asa hina or v'asa achat. And now we've got, besides that, me'achat, and besides that, we've got me'hina. So, and we're going to go into the drasha in detail a little bit later. So if I say what this means is, sometimes an achat is a hina, and sometimes a hina is an achat. And I was going to explain what he means later. So, pa'amim shechayav achat al kulam, pa'amim shechayav al kol achat v'achat. Okay, now, before we explain the braita, I don't want to get into the details. So the bottom line is, katani mia, does it or does it not say that Rabbi Yehuda argues on his own shita? It says over there, Rabbi Yehuda, afil lo katav al shtei otiyot v'im shem achat chayav, and it does not have to be shem mishmuel or mishimon and so on. So how do you explain the Mishnah if over here he argues on that? Says the Gemara, you're 100% right, but it's not a problem, because the Mishnah is indeed his own shita. But the shita that he's bringing in the Braita is actually Rabbi Gamliel, his Rebbe shita. I'm going to prove it to you, because there's a Braita in which Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rabbi Gamliel when he says those words. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, Afil lo katav al shtei otiyot, which are the same letter. Sheish, tat, rar, gak, chak. Okay. So that's Rabbi Gamliel's shita. Rabbi Yehuda's personal shita is expressed in our Mishnah. Now, explain to me, what in the world is the difference between the shita of Rabbi Shimon and the shita of the Tanakhama? It boils down to exactly the same thing, right? Sheish, tat. Is that the same thing? The chitema. Maybe you'll say, well, the nafka mina is that according to the Tanakh, let's say you write just olive, olive. You'll notice that every single one of these words, sheish, tet, rar, gak, chak, those are words. They're two-letter words. Suppose you were going to write a'azercha, and you wrote olive, olive. Now, olive, olive isn't a word. So maybe that's the difference. In other words, the choices that are used over here is that the Tanakhama, who speaks out those letters, he holds olive, olive from the word azarcha. Azarcha is not going to be a chiyuv, as Rabbi Shimon says. Well, I mean, it's not. I mean, people do use those two words. I mean, they don't use it when they're talking words, but if they're doing magic tricks or they're writing kamiyos or whatever, you can find all kinds of weird combinations. I'm sure. Oh, there you go. It's our president's initials on his cufflinks. So that would be fine if you would write this on cufflinks. Then why can't you be chayav? So if it's galturi bi'alma, you'd be chayav. But that wouldn't make sense, because that would mean that Rabbi Shimon is going l'chumra. And as we've seen many times, Rabbi Shimon shita throughout, in the terms of the shiurim, has always been l'kula. Want me to bring you some examples? Well, Tanya, hakodeach kosho, amigarer kosho, me'abed kosho, or hatsar klid sura kosho. You make a little bit in a kli, you make a picture. Any little bit, Rabbi Shimon says, no. You've got to take the whole, it's got to go through the whole thing. If you're going to be doing sanding, you have to smooth the entire board. You're doing some work on leather. You're going to be decorating a cleat. You've got to finish it. Okay, so obviously Rabbi Shimon is going with kula. Okay, fine. So Rabbi Shimon must be coming to say, Rabbi Shimon, you have to write the whole word. No, that's ridiculous. He says Beferish not like that. That can't be what he's saying. Because you might think you have to write the whole thing. Talmud Lomar Me'achat. So obviously it doesn't mean that. No, no. Tarit Tveim Ha'achim. No, we must have that wrong. The way that Rabbi Shimon read the Pasuk has got to be restated. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, Yachalach Yichtov Et HaPasuk Kulo. You might think that the sentence is required to be Mechayev you. Talmud Lomar Me'achat, even a word of the sentence. But you'd still have to write the entire word. Rabbi Yossi Omer, V'yasa Achat, V'yasa Hina, Pa'amim Shechayav Achat Al Kulam, Pa'amim Shechayav Akol Achat V'yachat. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, what is Rabbi Yossi saying? My time, Rabbi Yossi. First of all, where does he get the idea that you have a right to Dorish, Achat Shu Hina, or Hina Shu Achat? His svara is because he's saying, look, you have Me'achat, you have Achat, and then it says Me'achat. It could have just said Achat. That's the mem that everybody's being Dorish. It could have said Hina. Instead it says Me'hina. It could have said only one of the two. Instead, it says both. That teaches you achat shehina, hena shu achat. So let's take it from the top. Achat. Okay. The word shimon. Part of that, me'achat, shem, mi shimon. Hena. Hena are the avot. Me'hena are the derivatives, that which is derived from the above. Okay, those are toledot. Achat shehina, what would that be? That would be where you have a memory of the fact that it's Shabbos, but you don't know that this is a malacha. Then you'd be chayev on many. So the one iser of Shabbos becomes many korbanas. And then you have eina shiachas. You do many different malachas, but you'd only be chayev one. Where is that? You forgot it was Shabbat. That shigigat Shabbat. V'zadon malachot. Omer of Yudah, well, you can write a shem katan from a shem gadol. Now, I'm sure that this has been bothering you the whole time, which is, when you write shem mishimon, anybody who reads that word knows that it doesn't spell shame because the mem is not a mem sofit. So it isn't shame, Mishimon. Who are you fooling? Me, dummy? Mem of the shame is a mem satum because it's the end of the word. But the mem of Shimon is a mem patuach. Omer of Chista, this proves that if you write your tefillin and you make a satum patuach, it would be kosher, which we will go into tomorrow and recognize is not the case. Oy minei Rav Natan Baroshaya mi Rabbi Yochanan misatet bishumay mechayev. Achve lebiyade, boom, 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 makke bepatish. Vanan zana misatet vamakke bepatish. Ima hamisatet, which is hamakke bepatish. Toshma, hakudei arkoshu chayev. So bishlam l'rav, okay? It's included in the overall picture. Mechze kamand echar churta levinyana. But according to Shmuel, what kind of Gemara Malacha it is? You're going to be filling it up with a picture hanger. Which is, therefore, the Gemara Malacha. Zakla. Zakla latuye mai. Latuye dechak kapiza bekaba. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer hamake bekurnis ala sadan mai ka'ovi. Rabbi Yosef et avenu shema amir kiyado. What is that supposed to mean? So now I'm watching a video and learning how to do something? That's a malacha? It's absurd. Osim came to smooth the hammer so it doesn't tear the foil. Osim came to, he said it beferush. Hachoresh kol shom minakesh, minakesh, hamikarsem, hamizaret kol shuchayav, hamlaket etzim, im latakein koshen, im lahesik de lavash abetzakala, hamlaket asabim, im latakein koshu, im lebeimak, im lopiagdi. Lamai chazi, chazi lebizur de kara, de kavatika be mishka, roi le kelach echad shel samanim, hamnakesh, hamikarsem, hamizaret, an rabbana, atolesh olshin. Amizaret zradi. So imla chilak go garet. Imla beimak imla piyagdi. Imla hesek kedei lavasher beitzek ktala. Kal. Imla yafata takarka koshet. What is that supposed to mean? Not to kula lola yafata takarka nino. Rabbi Rav Yosi damer tov rabba gam shano. Abai Yama, what's the difference where it is? Afilo teme besader alav agam. But he's not being mechayvin for that. So Abai and Rava themselves were the ones who said that murder Rabbi Shimon psikreishim lo yamut. Which case, it's a psikresha that is not necessarily nechatehim. Hakotev, shtei otiyot. Bein bimino, bein bismolo, bein mishem echad, bein mishtei shemot, bein mishtei samamaniot, Bechol Hashon Chayav. Amr Rabbi Yossi, what's all of this discussion? There's no such thing as Kotev. It's Roshim anyway. So it doesn't even have to be a letter. It's only Mishum Roshim. Shekein Kotvim HaKashay HaMishkan. Leida Ezu Ben Zugo. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzidu Sheb Katad B'Sheb Gadol. Like Sheb B'Shimon HaMishmor. Noah from Nachor. Dan from Daniel. Gad B'Gadiel. So B'Shlama Ayamin Yerchayev B'Shum Derech Tiva V'Kav. But a small, why isn't small considered to be kalachra yad? Am I in der k'tiva v'kav? Omre b'yirmiya b'yiter yad shami. So what? Then tavi small didei ki yamin de kulayama. And then you'd only be chayav on small and not on yamin. But how could you be chayav both on small and yamin? El omre abaye b'sholet b'shtei yadav. That's what it's talking about. And therefore could be on either one. Rav Yaakov Breda Bat Yaakov Amar Amani Rav Yossi who holds Lo Chivush Teot Yad Al Mishum Roshem, and Roshem you can do with anything. Want me to say for Rav Yossi Reisha Lav Rav Yossi Kula Rav Yossi Om Rav Yudah Matzino Rav Yudah Shteyot Yod Arbin Shtey Shemot Dafke Udam Achayev. But let's say it would be Shteyot Yod, which is a Shem Echad. You wouldn't be chayev. V'atani v'asa achat. Yoch ala chichtov kol Hashem ad shiarov kol abeged ad shiase kol anatha. Tamil omre me'achat. In me'achat yoch ala filo lo katav ala otachat. Lo harag ala kutachat. Lo asa ala bayat achat benatha. Talmud Lomer Achat. How do you explain the contradiction? Or Ketzad, Eino Chayav Achichtov Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Let's say Shem Yishimon or Shmuel. Noach from Nachor. Dan from Daniel. God from Gadiel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Oh my God. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda who said exactly those words in the Mishnah. And here Rabbi Yehuda Omer. No. It doesn't have to be that. If you look at them on the Shtei Otiot, which are the same letter, you'd be Chayav. Let's say Shei, Shtei, Ra, Gag, Chach. Om Rabbi Yossi. Who cares about all of this? Even if you were sorei tzuta achat ashnei nesarim or shtei sritot ad neser achat, you'd be chayav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, v'yasa achat yochal ad shichtov et kol Hashem ad shiaro kol abeged ad shias et kol anofa tamad omer me'achat im me'achat yochal afilo lo katav lo otachat afilo lo arga lo chut achat afilo lo asa lo bayit achat menafa tamad omer achat. Okay, it's that. But anyway, bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilo Katav Al Shtei Otiyot Veim Shem Echad Chayav. Lo Kasha Didei Adarab Detani Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Gamliel Afilo Lo Katav Al Shtei Otiyot Veim Shem Echad Chayav Kegon Sheish Teit Rar Gag Chach Rabbi Shimon Ayin Tana Kama V'chi Tema Aleph Aleph, for instance, V'azarcha. Maybe that's what's Ikebe there. Tanakama Sava. Well, olive, olive, that's not a word. So even though it's in the Pasuk, Azercha, Loyedatani, but this is not a word on its own. Rabbi Shimon Sava, well, it can be on our president's cufflinks. Sekima de Ite Begalturi Be'alma, you would be Chayev. No, because then you'd be saying Rabbi Shimon is more Machmir. So, but Rabbi Shimon is a chumra, Vatanya. Rabbi Shimon is always a kula. Hakodeh koshu chay begar koshu ma'abed koshu tsar b'kli b'tzura koshu. Rabbi Shimon says, no, achi gdachet kulo, achi groret kulo, achi abedet kulo, achi atzur kulo. So it's got to be Rabbi Shimon's being makel. So Rabbi Shimon, ha'atel shmir, maybe. Now, you wouldn't be chayav unless you wrote the entire word. How could that be? Nimatzit amrinochi. V'otani Rabbi Shimon Amar v'yasa achat. Yochala chichtov et Hashem kolot amalom me'achat. Tri tzvei ma'achi. Yochala chichtov et ha'pasuk kolot. Tamud lomar me'achat. Rabbi Yossi Omer. V'yasa achat v'yasa hina. Pa'amim shechayav achat ha'kulan. Pa'amim shechayav ha'kol achat v'yachat. Om Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chnina my time. Rabbi Yossi achat me'achat. Hina me'hina achat. Shehina hina shi'achat. Achat is Shimon, me'achat Shem is Shimon. Heina is Avot, me'ena is Todot. Achat she'ena is Don Shabbat, she'gat Melachot. Heina is Achat, she'gat Shabbat. Is Don Melachot. Omre, b'yira matinu Shem katon v'shem gadol midami. Mem de Shem is Satun, and Mem de Shimon is Batuach. Omre, chisazot amere, Satun yasa'at Batuach, kasher.